2021 has been a year of many things, but it also marks a significant milestone for Australia's Indigenous communities, because this year marks the 50th anniversary, the entrance of Australia's first Indigenous politician into the federal parliament. And he was a Queenslander. It's a name you should know. If you don't, Neville Bonner. Now, as a Liberal senator for 12 years, Bonner championed the progression of Indigenous affairs in the country, and he left behind a lasting legacy that has existed right through until today. And I had the pleasure, as a very young reporter, of interviewing Neville Bonner. He was just a great bloke, so that's why I'm so pleased there is a new biography about Neville Bonner, and I've got the author of that book on the show now, Brisbane-based Australian writer and government relations specialist Sean Jacobs joins me now. Sean, great to have you on the show.
G'day, Scott. Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, Neville Bonner, as I said, I interviewed him when I was very young, as a young reporter there. He was a wonderful bloke, but his journey is extraordinary, as you detail in the book. Now, he wasn't born in Queensland. He was born in northern New South Wales in very, very, basic existence he had there. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's right, Scott. So he was born in very, harrowing conditions on Eucaraba Island under the foot of a tree, which is in northern New South Wales, just on the mouth of the Tweed River there. And Bonner said that the fact that he actually survived in those days was really a miracle. And so after that, he spent some time in Lismore and then worked his way through up south and central Queensland. But yes, a very tough start there, Scott. But then going on to serve as a federal senator for Queensland from 1971 to 83 is just such a compelling journey and compelling story.
Now, as I said, he is the first Indigenous politician into our federal parliament. How did he get elected into the Senate as the first one? Because obviously, it hadn't happened before. His very simple background in terms of his upbringing. Tell me, why was he elected?
Sure. So it's quite an interesting story in the end, Scott. He actually filled a Senate vacancy in 1971, but interestingly, in the year before, in 1970, he actually ran as third on the coalition or then coalition ticket. So he didn't get up. The two in front of him ended up getting up. And then just by a stroke of fortune, Senator Dame Annabel Rankin ended up filling a position as the High Commissioner to New Zealand, creating a Senate vacancy. And Bonner, as I sort of write in the book, it was probably the first time that he actually felt entitled to anything in his life. And there's some truth to that, because only sort of months before, about 6 months before, he was kind of the natural next in line as a Liberal senator. But yeah, it was kind of something that he just kind of almost stumbled into to a degree. He had political ambitions, of course, but particularly that 1970 run was just sort of made on the fly, it seemed, at a cocktail fundraiser for the Liberal Party down the Gold Coast. So 71 was the start of his formal political career, Scott, and then 1983 ended up leaving the Senate.
What was the reaction to Neville Bonner entering federal politics as the first Indigenous senator in Australia's history? Was it widely welcomed, or were there some critics of it?
Well, I think this sort of goes back to what you said at the start, Scott, just about what a sort of lovely person and a really stellar human being that he actually was. So it was met with applause from figures as diverse as Charles Perkins, who was an Indigenous vocal activist at the time, and then even through to people like the late former Premier, Gerb Bjelke-Petersen. So to have someone with that sort of appeal and to get congratulations and encouragement, but also support and applause again from those different sectors or those two very different people, I think just highlights the reception that he received and the profile that gave him.
Well, you spent 12 years in the Senate. What do you think the highlight would have been of his political career then?
Yeah, sure. So it's quite an interesting one. I think that, there were lots of instances or occurrences that happened during his time in Parliament. I think, it's probably a mix of things. Bonner said that when he went to the Senate, his priorities were in this order to God, nation, state and then party. And so he sort of found himself working constantly towards those broad sort of values or objectives, if you will. But he sort of had an equality agenda too, that he was really interested in completely removing the settlements and the protection that existed around Indigenous people at the time in Queensland and elsewhere as well. So that was something that he worked hard at over time. But again, there was probably quite a few instances, but nothing to sort of nail it down to a specific issue. But I think he just looked back, Scott, grandly on the fact that he was the first Indigenous parliamentarian. He was in the room. He was using Australia's established institutions to effectuate change. And until then, there hadn't been an Indigenous person in the highest or in the corridors of power in Canberra.
How did other Indigenous leaders and the broader Indigenous community react and see Neville Bonner?
So there was probably in the lead up to Bonner filling the Senate vacancy, it attracted a bit of hostility in particular from some of the more radical elements of the Indigenous movement at the time. So, yeah, you can't forget, of course, this is the late 60s. And, you know, in the wake of the Indigenous referendum, which was bipartisan supported, of course, and received overwhelming support, it was still a time, though, when radicalisation, especially around Indigenous issues, was running hot. So from some of the more vocal members of that community or for that movement, he was labelled a Black Judas because of his conservative principles and his desire to actually work within Australia's established institutions and his membership of the Liberal Party. So he did get heat from many members in the Indigenous rights movement, but a lot of those were probably more on the radical fringe versus being mainstream. Again, he largely received solid applause from a cross-section of the community.
Well, look, it's great that you've done this biography of Neville Bonner, Sean Jacobs. If people want to get it, where can they get the book from?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. So it's through Connacourt Publishing. So the best thing to probably do is just put in Neville Bonner and then Connacourt into Google. That's probably the easiest way to do it. But, yeah, it's published by Connacourt Publishing, which is a local publisher. And, it just came out. So it's hot off the press.
All right. Sean Jacobs, thanks for being on 4BC Drive this afternoon.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you having me.
And, of course, that bridge, the pedestrian bridge that's being built from the Queen's Wharf development over to South Bank. Of course, that's named after the Queensland Senator, again, as I say, the first Indigenous politician to ever be elected to the Federal Parliament, Neville Bonner. And as I said, look, he was a joy to talk to when I spoke to him as I said, a junior reporter many, many years ago. So go get that book by Sean Jacobs on a biography of Neville Bonner. Now, have you done your Christmas shopping yet?